Sir John Franklin in 1845 was getting ready to take a trip. And had you been on the British coast when they were loading the ship, you would have been quite surprised. 138 men got on board the ships that left, and the place they were setting sail for was the Arctic. Their task was to chart the Northwest Passage. They were going around the Canadian Arctic to the Pacific Ocean, or attempting to. And the captain, Sir John Franklin, thought that this would be a turning point in Arctic expedition. It was. Not because of its success, but because of its failure. And the ships never returned. And every crew member perished. Those who followed in the path of this particular expedition to the pole learned the lesson. And the lesson was this: prepare for the journey. Franklin didn't. The voyage was going to last 2 to 3 years, and Franklin took with him a 12-day supply of coal. He lacked fuel, but he made up for it in entertainment. There was a 1,200-volume library on board one of the ships. They also had a hand organ, China place settings, and silver for the crew. They had cut glass wine goblets and China place settings for the officers and men. So were they headed to the Arctic or the Caribbean? Yeah. Their clothing was, nothing to protect them from the cold. They wore the uniforms of Her Majesty's fleet: noble, respectful, thin, inadequate. And the silver knives and the forks and the spoons, they were as ornate as any dining room in the Royal Navy officers' clubs. They were heavy-handled, intricately designed. We know this because, they were discovered next to clumps of frozen, cannibalized bodies. Two ships set sail. They were discovered, ice coating the deck, the spars, the rigging. The sea froze around the rudder and trapped the ships. The sailors, many of them, left wearing their uniforms, carrying their belongings. Some Indians reported seeing a group dragging a wooden boat across the ice. Other Indians discovered a tent on the ice, and in it 30 bodies. And for the next 20 years, remains were found scattered throughout. No one survived. On one of the boats contained the bodies of 35 men. Franklin died on that boat. Search parties would later find a piece of the backgammon board that his wife had sent with him. Strange, isn't it? How can you think that if you're going to take this kind of a journey, that you wouldn't take the right kind of stuff with you to make it successful? Ill-prepared. Equipped for an afternoon tea, but not for the open sea. And isn't it strange? Because, I think a lot of us do the same thing. We spend little time on spiritual kinds of things, lots of time on worldly entertainment, don't we? And we're more concerned with looking good on earth than with being prepared for heaven. And we give more thought to table settings than we do, well, surviving the journey. We give little thought to the destination. We make sure that there's plenty of gold and silver to go around. Once heard about a man who was speaking to his wife, and he said, "You know, they say you can't take it with you, but I'm going to. When I die, I want you to take all my money and put it in the coffin with me. I'm taking it with me." She said, "Okay, I'll do that." Another lady overheard her, and he was at his funeral. She was at his funeral, and she looked at her and she said, "I understand he wanted to put all the money in the casket. You didn't do it." "Oh, yes," she said, "I did." "You did?" "Yes," she said, "I wrote him a check." So why do we take all this stuff with us on the journey? Why is our life focused on these kinds of things and not the things that, well, that God would have us to focus on? Certainly the spiritual needs. I talk to a lot of people and they're quick to say, "Yes, I've been to the doctor and I made sure that I got my physical, but what about your spiritual physical? How's your spiritual life? How's your prayer life? How's your Bible study? How's your worship attendance? Are you really seeking to be the best disciple that you can be for God? How are these things in your life?" Or do they matter? Are you prepared for the journey? Are you getting yourself ready? You know, I talk to people a lot of times about Sunday school, and Joe will tell you, you need to be in Sunday school. He's always talking about it, and for good reason. But you're not in Sunday school because of what it gives you necessarily right then and there at the moment. You know why you go? You nurture and develop relationships in small groups, and you learn about some things that you're going to use down the road. Basically, what you're doing is you're getting ready for the journey, right? It's the kind of preparation that you make when you're getting ready to go. It's the kind of thing that you do that's not necessarily going to help you right now, but it will help you later. And you may not need these people right now, but you probably will later. And so you're nurturing and developing relationships, and you're doing the kinds of things you need to do in order to get yourself in the right place to get through the difficult times along the journey, right? I got to tell you, though, every time I read the scripture in the morning, I'll read passages of scripture and have my prayer time, but it's always something that comes back, you know? It helps me in the journey, through the day even, to get through it. I find that God prepares me in ways that I don't even know, but He does, for the journey to come. He outlined the route. He prescribed the landmarks that we should be looking for. He told us what to pack for the trip: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, kindness, and self-control, right? And most remarkably, He's gone before us and He goes with us. He's a pioneer and a co-traveler. Isn't that cool? And when we grow weary, all we need to do is listen to His voice. I mean, He's got special promises to give to us as we're traveling along on the journey. His Word and His Spirit. John 14 includes one of the best promises. "There are many rooms in my Father's house." That's a tender phrase, folks. It's an absolutely beautiful phrase. I hear it read at almost every funeral. What's a house imply? If Have you ever gone home? It's rest, isn't it? Oh, it's a place where everybody knows you. It's a wonderful place. Safety, warmth, a table, a bed, a place to be at home. It's not just any house, though. Whose house is it? It's my Father's house. All of us know what it's like to be in a house that's not our own. Maybe you spent time in a college dorm room, or maybe an army barrack, or maybe you've slept in your share of hotels or some hostels. That's not home, is it? They've got beds and tables, and they've got food sometimes, and they're warm, but it's far cry from being my Father's house. It's not home. Your Father's house is where your Father is. Maybe you can remember the voice of your father. Anybody can remember the voice of their father? Can you remember that? Yeah. Coming home. Coming home from work and filling the hallway as he comes in. Sounding through the room. Some of you can't. For many of you, it's a fond memory. Others of you don't have that memory, but you will. Psalm 27 tells us, if my father and mother leave me, the Lord will take me in. Isn't that beautiful? Your Father's preparing a place for you, a place with many rooms, an ample place, a place that's got space for you. It's got space for you. There's a special place for you, and you're going to be welcome there. We don't always feel welcome on earth. We wonder if there's a place here for us. People can make us feel unwanted at work, at school. Sometimes it's sad to say even at church. People can feel like they're not welcome. But you know what? This isn't our home. Is it? To feel unwelcome is a tragedy. It should never happen to anyone. And I hope that no one feels unwelcome here. But we're not at home here. This language we speak, it's not ours. The body we wear, it's not us. And the world we live in, this isn't home. Our home is not here. And when it's our brothers will come and take us home. Jesus says, I wouldn't tell you this if it weren't true. I will come back, he said before he left, and take you to be with me so that you'll be where I am. Did he read confusion in their eyes? I think so. Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How are we going to get there? Good question, right? And I bet there was a lot of confusion. He says we're going to go to his father's home, but I don't know. I've never been there. I think Jesus saw what the airline attendant sees when she gives that talk about security and safety, you know? I bet it's like glazed over, you know. Or maybe the same kind of thing doctors and nurses see when they're telling their patients, you need to change the way you're living. And the patients are kind of looking at the, yeah, right, that's not going to happen. I think Jesus saw the same kind of look he sees, you know, when ministers see when they tell a Sunday morning audience that you could die today. Yeah, right. It's not likely to happen today. You could die today. So could I. This plane could crash, but not likely. And well, I might die of something, but probably the stuff they're telling me about is not going to hurt me that much. And I could die today, but then again, you know, probably not. General William Nelson was a Union general in the Civil War. Sorry about that. Some of you are big Civil War buffs. You like the Confederate side. They faced death every day, and there's a great story about him. He rode into battle. Maybe he was too busy to just staying alive to think about death. But one day he was relaxing in his house with his men, and a brawl broke out. And he got shot in the chest. And he was laying on a bed, dying. And you know what his last request was? Call the minister. Somebody call the minister. I'm dying. What happened? Why the urgency now? I mean, surely he could have talked to a minister before now, right? I mean, about this journey he was about to make. He had opportunity. Suddenly, he realized he was going to die, and only one thing mattered. Hadn't mattered before. But the salvation of his soul was such an urgent need after the shot, and before it had been optional. Why did he postpone? Maybe he assumed he had time. It's a dangerous assumption. Psalm 90:12 says, "Teach us how short our lives really are, so that we might be wise." What fear strikes a man when the end is near and he's not prepared for the journey? What fear must have struck the crew of Sir John Franklin when they got stuck in the ice? What anxiety to search for food and find silver? Dig in the closets and find coats and uniforms, but no picks, no axes, backgammon games, novels. They would have swapped it all in a heartbeat for what they needed to get home. Don't you think? So what supplies are you taking? Are you carrying your share of silver and games? Don't be fooled. Well, they matter here, but they won't matter when you die. What matters most is that you're known by the Father. It's not what you have, it's who you know. Make sure you're ready for the journey, won't you? Let's pray. Gracious God, we know that you're the way, the truth, and the life, and we pray, Lord, that we may give ourselves completely and fully to you this day. Forgive us, God, for focusing on things that we don't really need. And help us to focus on those things that matter most to you. So we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen.